Blog Talk Radio.
So let me ask you something.
Seven.
When you watching the game,
sight.
What do you see?
Media.
Yo, it started with the dream, a ball in the hoop. In between the lines, divide the lies from the truth. Analytics say you gotta play to the stats, but a Mac never play Mac, so why listen to that? The fact is, numbers are just an illusion, cause they don't tell the whole story, just a conclusion. This is the show that puts all the numbers to rest, cause it's not all about the stats, it's about the eye test.
One, two, one, two. What up, good people? This is MVB.
And this is ISO.
And you are
What's going on to
the NBA Eye Test Show.
Where there's always a story behind the numbers.
Yes, you sir. What's going on, my bro?
We good, man. We good. You looking good. You know what I'm saying? I see Lou Aldang freed up some money for y'all.
Oh, yeah. With some big-name free agents possibly on the other end of that transaction.
Yes, sir. So
looking forward to hearing, you know, what's going to happen. Magic has a, and the Lakers have a propensity of speaking out loud sometimes. So just make sure that, you know, the whispers don't get too loud and we make things happen for next year.
Yeah. But, you know, right now, it's all about the chosen one versus the king. You know?
Once again, it's on, man.
We're back here
pulling up the chart once again, man.
This, where it all started, the essence of why we started the show, it's here. I mean, you know, other than Michael versus LeBron, this is probably the second biggest chart we've had. Right up,
yeah.
You know, to think when you think about it. Greatness versus greatness.
We got to look at 8 verse 24, too.
Well,
we did the Legacy Edition, 8 verse 24. So
yeah,
I got to include that one also, you know, in the mix.
Always. Can't forget about Lakers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just talk about
the purple and gold. That leaves the God out. Word. Mamba Day just passed, fam. Come on, man.
Yo,
Mamba Day just passed.
God
just turned 40.
8 versus 24. No question.
That's right.
So this is,
that's right.
It's right up there with those. It's right
yeah,
up there
so
with those.
Yeah, so we've had some really good cats on the chart, man, and good combinations. Last week, we knocked out Steve Nash versus Stephen Curry.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, man. And that was a good one, too. So definitely check those out on any of the archive episodes, 7sitemedia.com, also on SoundCloud and our Instagram page as well.
No question, man.
But, let's
you know
get
saying?
Into mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, first out there, you know what I'm saying, for all our listeners, the number is 563-999-3716. Press 1 to get into the queue. B, you know, let's really dive into this right now. You know, maybe further down the line, we'll have the trilogy. You know, depending on what he does in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But this is strictly, or maybe at the end of the maybe when it's all said and done, we'll have a quadrilogy, you know? Talk about all four phases of LeBron James and which one is the best. But
right.
this right now is strictly dealing with the champion, LeBron James, and his dominance of the transition of making it through 8 straight finals from a Miami Heat to a Cleveland Cavalier. And
yes.
I'm ready, dog. I'm ready, B. I'm ready.
Pardon me.
You know, we switching it up this year. You know, there's no washes. It's no washes, man.
No washes. Okay. Nothing to hang out to dry. I hear that. So you got to take your stance. You know what? I'm used to that now, man. I've been going through some heavy arguments and debates in the last week or so, man. Had a Jordan conversation. Had some other Kaepernick conversation. So, yo, I'm ready for no washes, fam. How about that?
Yo, that's what's up, man. Let's get down and dirty. No washes.
Let's do it. First topic on the deck, analytics. All right.
Who, man.
Uh-huh. What you got for analytics, man? What's it looking like?
I mean, it's very close. It's very close. I would have to say, when looking at it, I probably most likely would have to go with Cleveland. I'd have to go with Cleveland LeBron, just because the assist factor is higher than it is in Miami. You know, because we understand he's the same person, but I think that him having more responsibility in Cleveland as opposed to Miami allowed him to booster his stats up. So, I have to give it to Cleveland. I definitely have to give it to King James on this one right here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's for that reason. It's solely on the assists. All of the other numbers are really, really tight. So, in Cleveland, King James, he averaged 26 points, 8 assists, 7.7 rebounds, 1.4 steals, which is great numbers. If we're looking at LeBron in Miami, he averaged 26.9 points, 6.7 assists, 7.6 total rebounds, and 1.7 steals. So the defense was, right up there. It's a little bit a notch above. But all of the other numbers were pretty stable except for the assists. And I was wondering, you're thinking that he has Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and all these other guys, that he would have been racking up the assists. But in Cleveland, like you said, he had more of the responsibility and the toll on his back. But he also had Kyrie. And passing it to Kyrie is the finisher, man. So I was thinking that I was, just trying to figure out what the difference was. And it came up, for me, it came to the second superstar or the next superstar. But I definitely agree with you that King James narrowly gets the edge with analytics.
And plus, just to add on to what you're saying, you got to remember that the game wasn't totally geared around him in Miami as opposed to the LeBron James system in Cleveland. Like, everything was centered around him. So, like I said, yeah, the more responsibility he had it. Right. I got a King James, man. James on that one.
All right, so for analytics, we got 2 for King James. That's 4. All right? 2 to zip so far. All right, let's move on to the next topic, which is competition. So in terms of competition, I also went with King James on this one. The reason being, man, he took down the monster. He took down Golden State, and the highest scoring or the team with the most wins in the regular season, they were able to bring them down, man. That was really what tipped the scales, I would say,
right.
Because a lot of the same guys were in the league, but that monster wasn't formed yet, and being able to have that notch on your belt, for me, that's what tip the scales.
In actuality, I gave it to Miami.
Okay.
I gave it to Miami because when you look at how the road that they had to go through in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
right? When they first formed together, they were down in the series. You know, like, I don't remember LeBron being down in a series maybe until last year, if that.
No, he was down in Detroit when they were playing Detroit first time in Cleveland.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, when you're comparing King James now, when you're comparing,
okay.
when you compare,
okay.
when you're comparing LeBron who had Kyrie and Kevin Love, he wasn't really thrusted into those positions until maybe last year. When you think about the battles, not only the battles that he had with the Celtics and the battles
yeah.
he had with Indiana, but then also the fact of, yes, we understood that he lost to Dallas, a team that he was favored over.
That's right.
He lost to the Spurs. He could have lost twice to the Spurs. So I just think that when you really think about the competition and what he was facing and the level of players that he had to face, you know, LeBron James, he had the cakewalk. He had the cakewalk. Yeah, he had Game 7 against the Pacers. Yeah, he had Game 7 against the Celtics. But he was able to dominate those games, and it, to me, didn't really feel as much as in doubt as opposed to when he was playing against the Pacers and then losing in the finals. He lost in the finals to Golden State, but one was when he was undermanned, and then the other two is when, you know what I'm saying, they had adding a spectacular player. So I can understand
right.
where your standpoint is as far as the competition, but with me, I think that with him having a full squad and still losing, that to me says something more. So I got to give it to Miami, B.
Okay. Okay. And I'm not, you know, I think that the fact that they were still young and trying to figure it out, he didn't have the knowledge at that point in Miami. And I think that's kind of why they struggled initially and might have got tripped up against the Mavs, who were a gritty playoff tested veteran laden team, right? There was a lot of veterans
right.
on that team that were hungry and wanted it. But in all that reality, man, Miami had the better squad, in my opinion. And I thought about Boston as well. Boston was one of his main foes, you know, after Detroit, of course, then the Celtics. But at that point, when he was in Miami, they were kind of old, man. He was blowing by them. He was still a youthful, bouncy LeBron. KG was on his last leg, and Paul Pierce was very close to that. So
yeah, but
those were the things that I just considered, you know, in the debate. I'm just, go ahead.
Yeah, but do you think, like, the Celtics can push LeBron to a level, like, because you got to think about it. It took them, what, six games? It took them six games the first time they beat the Celtics, and then it took them seven games the next year. So
right.
even though the Boston Celtics were older, like the IQ of the game, like what happened against Toronto, that's
mm-hmm.
not happening. That's not
right.
really happening in the Miami era, man.
Agree.
That's not happening. And
that's one team. That's one team.
No,
so
but think
team.
About it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's think about the Cleveland Cavalier run with Kyrie, and Kevin Love and them since he got there. It was just last year. It was just this last year without Kyrie that he was really getting pushed to all these game sevens. Like. He really didn't have any competition. There was no competition for him when he was with Kyrie. Those
until
first 3 years. Yeah, until the finals. This is what I'm saying. Whereas Miami had to go through something, you know what I'm saying? The Pacers were tough. Pacers really tested their mettle. Celtics
mm-hmm.
really tested their mettle. So to me, and then you know what I'm saying, then it's not having a lopsided finals where, you know what, we're derived of talent. No, we have talent, they have talent. It's just a matter of fact of who's executing better. And the fact is that LeBron James always had problems with teams. Historically, LeBron James has problems with teams that execute at a high IQ level. If you notice that, historically, Miami and Cleveland is teams with a high IQ that, you know what I'm saying, that think the game, pass multiple time, player movement type basketball. He has problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that he faced that more in Miami than he has in Cleveland, especially on the road, too. So I got to give it to Miami.
No problem. We got one for LeBron. All right, 3-1.
They both LeBron, so I'm saying.
Yeah, versus King James.
We got analytics, got Cleveland, and we got what? So we're saying competition is Miami, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what it is.
Next one, create your shot. Create your own shot. Who you got for that?
Oh, man. This is... I don't know, man. This is kind of tough. It's kind of tough. It should be easy. Because... all right, I got to give it to Cleveland. I'll give it to Cleveland. I'll give it to Cleveland because... having played with Kyrie kind of invigorated his game to a next level because he started using his layup packages like that. He's more confident with his jumper and the moves that he had. I can't really say he's better in the post in Cleveland than he is in Miami, because to me in Miami he was way better in the post.
That's right.
But I just think just the way that he was able to score in Cleveland is just a little bit more diversified than it was in Miami. Like, you know, of course they're both great players attacking the paint, but in Cleveland, his layup package is better. You know what I'm saying? He I ain't gonna say perfected, but he's added his step back jumper, his turnaround jumper. He's just more diversified to me in Cleveland.
Okay, I initially had King James as well in Cleveland, but in thinking about it, man, I'm going to look at Miami because in Miami, he definitely had much more of a post game. And I think it's weird that I'm going to make an argument for creating your own shot. He needs to have or needed to have the ball less, right? And having the option of having the ball less allowed him to be a threat on the alley-oops, on the fast breaks, and catching... And Dwayne Wade having the ball and him just moving without the ball, catching them little quick, easy layups. So I'm going to take, initially, like I said, I had King James, but I'm going to take Miami because of that. And then also, that's where, it, not just first time I saw it, but I saw LeBron's jumper as a weapon, right? So he was fearless with it. He was able to pull up from, he had his sweet spots, you know, that he would pick. And make sure that he got to those spots in order to get it down. But he, especially in some of the playoff games, he would use his body to his advantage and was much more nimble. It seemed like he would do a lot more than just barrel to the hole as he's doing now in Cleveland as King James. There's a lot of barreling to the hole, just going, you know, like a charging bull, as Doc would say. But he had more finesse, I think, as well in Miami.
Here's the thing. Like, before last year's playoffs, I don't think that as good. Cause the kind of output that he put on in the finals when he won against Golden State was phenomenal, no question. But to me, to this date, I still felt that his game against Boston was the best I've ever seen him play as far as how he diversified his offense, right? Short main, mid-range jumper, long three, inside. It was masterful. You know what I'm talking about, right? Game five. Mm-hmm. Game five in TD Bank House. But after last year, seeing the bank shot off the glass, off the one mm-hmm. leg, countless turnaround jumpers, you know.
He was doing that in Miami, bro.
Yeah,
he was doing that in Miami.
Yeah, but it's hard.
He looked like he was more in control in Cleveland, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing, or maybe he knew, you know, it was more big spots and clutch moments. That's another thing. It was a lot of clutch shots that he was hitting in Cleveland. But if you look back at it, man, he had that little step back off the glass. He would do that. It wasn't something that it was irregular in his package, but I saw him pull that out. The jumper, he was pulling from all over.
I just think he did give you. He did move without. He did play more off the ball,
and
than
that
he did in
led
Cleveland.
To him creating a whole lot of other shots, man. The alley oops and the easy, you know, put in layups that Wade would catch him, you know, cutting to the basket because the defender is sleeping.
To me, he just looked more confident with the Jimmy in Cleveland than he's been in Miami. Like, he's hit the jumper. He's won a championship hitting the jumper, but it was more like Dwayne Wade, like, all right, we'll give you the jumper. If you hit it, you hit it. I mean, I just seen him this last playoff, his last playoff run in Cleveland. I mean, man, son, I just can't give it to him, not seeing what I saw last year. Like, the time after time after time.
I know.
It's hard, man. Off the wrong leg.
I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. That's my thing. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment because I checked to see if he was doing some of the same things. And as I said, he was moving
yes.
without the ball and hitting the jumper and doing all of this stuff. Catching the alley-oop, son. Oh, my gosh. I'm not moving off my square on this one. Create your own shot. I got LeBron. I'm taking LeBron on that, man. I'm crossing out my King James picks. I had that pick, but the fact that he played without the ball created so many more shots, hands down, than him having the ball, dominating the ball, or just it being him and Kyrie. All right, so where we at, man? Analytics, we had two. Competition,
you got
we gave him one. Mm-hmm.
Damn, dog. I had Cleveland hands down, but I can't lie, like, you make an excellent point that he played better off the ball than he ever has in Cleveland, and that opens up a whole new spectrum of shots.
I'm telling you, bro, and it's nothing wrong. This is what I was trying to get my brothers to understand today in our debate. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing. There's nothing wrong with conceding to the other side. We don't have to be right all of the time, son. It just happens. Like, yo, you know, it's fact is what it is. You know, it is what it is, man. That opened up the conversation for me, the fact that he was moving without the ball, man. So we're going to – all right, let's get the scoring correct, man. We're going to do 1 point for each – category? Is that what we doing?
Yeah. We'll do it like that. 1 point for each category. You swayed me. You got me. Shade 45. You got me with the sway. You got me with the sway. I don't. Because you're right. You're right.
It's all to the good.
It's 2-1 right now.
Yes, it is. LeBron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miami, which represents LeBron. All right.
Instead of keep saying LeBron because you're both LeBron, you say Miami's chosen, and Cleveland is king. All right. Because they both LeBron.
Just branded
like,
it.
Oh, this, yeah.
I like that. I like the marketing. Oh, the marketing mind is always working, my man.
Right. So you go. Right. So, all right. So, King
next.
Got one.
Mm-hmm.
King got one. Chosen got two. Right.
There it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
The chosen right. one. You see, remember we'll have a conversation off air about that because I brought that up. All right.
Yes. Yes.
Moving on. Lockdown D is our next topic. Lockdown D.
For lockdown.
Yeah. It's not
chosen.
Even a conversation. Yeah, it's definitely a chosen one. There's been so many. Text messages that have come through this year. With truth be told, mentioning how low or his official defensive stat, efficiency stat, since he was in Cleveland, and how much he's been taking off plays and all of this stuff. But just the fact that, you know, the one-on-one defense and also the chase down defense was remarkable.
I mean, I remember he locked down Derrick Rose. The same year he locked down Derrick Rose, he went head up and blocked Tiago Splitter for a dunk. Like,
right.
Yo, my man, you're off the chain.
Right.
Like, this dude, he was a shutdown defender. He was a shutdown defender. He, you know what I'm saying? Of course he's giving you the chase blocks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
King James has only been known, the block is the only thing in his resume for as far as the finals, but there's no question he was in Miami, the, you know what I'm saying, in Miami, if he could have consistently be like that in Miami throughout his whole career, he'd be probably one of the greatest two-way players of all time.
Yes, cuz
when you think about being able to lock down your individual man and help out. The dude basically played five positions on defense in Miami, you know? So it's no question the chosen one got that. You know, it's not even a debate.
Well, so that's 3-1 on the docket for the chosen one. The next topic is versatility. Versatility. Who you got for versatility?
Damn. It's like I usually don't allow one topic to sway me to the next category.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I usually don't do that. For real. I usually don't do that. But when you think about his responsibility on defense, along with getting everybody involved, along with getting his own shot, it's just so hard. I had to give it to Chosen, because the D is a part of it, man.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about versatility, the D is a part of it. So, to be able to play five positions on offense and defense, nah.
Yeah, that's word. Those are prophetic words are in my notes as well. The fact that he played off the ball, which I spoke about already, showing his all around game, and then also his defense was, you know, phenomenal at that point, man. On ball and the help defense, and his ability to be able to play multiple positions. It's like second coming to Magic in terms of that, being able to play those, you know, that D, so, and being versatile. So yeah, you got to give it to the chosen one for that one. I totally agree with that.
For real, damn boy, this is
I know it's surprising. This and yeah, it's surprising, man. And, you know, I mentioned also the fact that he had the all-around game, that the jumper was clicking the post-game, going to the hole, all that. Yeah, this is not, you know, not, I guess, revising recent history, you know, because if you look at what he did last year, you would think that the King James or Cleveland, you know, Cleveland LeBron, you got the name, would have made much more of a mark and would have taken some of these earlier categories. But we see different.
I know. It's amazing.
It is. It's amazing. Especially because when we get into the next category, which is hits the jumper. for this one,
I'm giving it to the king.
Okay. All right,
go
ahead.
Okay. I gotta give it to the king. When you think about one of the reasons why he beat Golden State is because his outside game was one of its best. When you look at what he did last year, there's no way to me. That he has the jumper that he had in Miami, and he advances to the finals last year. I don't see it. He's hit. Not only was he hitting threes at a high rate, but he's hitting timely threes and timely shots, and it allowed him that extra rest that he needed. You know, he was a bull in Miami, and yes, he could hit the jump shot, but I think due to the responsibility and having the ball in his hands all the time gave him a certain level of comfort that allowed him to hit the jump shot more in Cleveland. Think about the shot he hit against Washington off the glass jumper. You know what I'm saying? When you think about him hitting it against game winner against Chicago. It's just too many times that when he was in Cleveland that his jumper was there, B. Like, I got to give him that. I got to give it to the king.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you on this one, man. When I looked at the numbers, especially the field goal percentage on two-pointers at a 16-plus feet from the basket, you know, went down on a deep dive on the analytics. Miami, Cleveland, I mean, the chosen one, excuse me, shoots better all around, especially in his three-point and outside of the three-point line or close to the three-point line. For instance, he's about 36-37% in Miami and only 35% in terms of three-pointers. So, yes, they might have been timely. They're timely. I can understand that. But if you look at his overall field goal percentage, was about 20% high, 20 points higher, man. 20 points higher. And a lot of these were jump shots. A lot of them were him catching it off of the ball and being able to create, pull up, go to the basket, whatever it was.
I feel you, but I just feel like he wasn't the blueprint that San Antonio displayed against him in the finals in Miami when he beat San Antonio the first time.
Right.
That kind of and when you think about the year after, to me he has a higher percentage because he was taking less. The fact to me that he only went a notch down in percentage but took way more in Cleveland, and I just felt like that's part of it, you know, like when you're a great assist man, some people who are just being cautious, their turnover numbers are kind of low, but their assist numbers never go that high, whereas opposed to a dude who's taking those chances, his assist numbers are high, but, you know, his steals, his turnover numbers are a little bit higher than somebody who doesn't take those chances. And I think that King James, he shot the jumper with more confidence in Cleveland. And to me, it's, I understand analytics, but I just think about the moments. And to me, the moments shoot to me King James, man. It just shoots me King James.
I'm with you. Just, the moments just, and then also the volume. I'll give it to you on the volume. You're taking much more in Cleveland with much more responsibility on the line. So I'll give you that one.
Yeah, man. You on that. Mm-hmm. You got to go to King James on this one, B. You got to.
You don't want it to be too lopsided, huh?
Nah, I'm just saying. It is what it is. If it's a blowout, it's a blowout. But it's just like, you know, like we do the analytics, but then we also have to take into account the moments and, you know, everything else. So it's just 100%. Like, nah, B. It's like I got to give respect to respect due, and King held it down as far as shooting the jumper. Next up.
Especially this year. I'll give it to you for this year, man. But I don't know. Yo, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's had some moments with Kyrie and them before, you know. But what I'm saying, especially this year, with everything on his back, it's just like.
I just don't want to be a prisoner in the moment. Word. but if we are in agreement, we're giving that one to King James. So it's currently 4-2.
Right.
Okay. 4-2. Next up on the docket, we have mental toughness. Mental toughness. All right. For mental toughness, I got to give this one to King James as well.
Okay.
What he's done in the finals, being able, first of all, finally getting back to the finals, and then your two, both of your best players, not one, both of your best players go down. What a blouse and skirt. And then to put up the performances that he was putting up during those times, I mean, he was in the running for MVP, man. And I think that it's only him being able to withstand all of the obstacles that were put against him, especially around his other teammates. And, of course, you know, there was a little bit of pressure as well coming back to Cleveland. So for him to be able to endure, deal with all of those various items that, you know, just was talking about, I'm going to lean towards King James on this one.
Of course, I give it to King James. But to me, also, it's also not only about what King James did, but what the Chosen One didn't do. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I didn't want to shit on the Chosen One. I totally
agree. It's real. Because it's like when you think about what he did in Dallas, you know what I'm saying? Think of, like he lost to Golden State, right? This past year. But it was more competitive than, even though he got swept, it was still more competitive than the 5-game series he played against San Antonio when he got smoked. You know what I'm saying?
It's just time and time again
that he raised the level of his game, and yeah, no question. It's not only what the King did, but what the Chosen One didn't do that gives him this vote.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. Definitely. I mean, you know, you don't want to try to raise somebody up by shitting on the other person. So that was my idea around not bringing that up. But it's true, though. You got to speak facts 100%.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're dealing with greats and you're talking about the same person with two different eras, you got to nitpick as far as, you know what I'm saying, what's going to divide them, what puts the other person above it. And those moments he had in Miami, that they will go down in infamy as far as being mentally weak.
100%. Hold on 1 second.
Toughness really is, it's all about not getting too high or getting too low, but just kind of staying pretty even keel. I mean, that's kind of the trick to it, is not to get too emotionally attached to the situation.
Jules from the Mamba. Word. So let's move into our next topic, man. Next topic on the die. So mental toughness definitely goes to King James. Uh-oh. Raring on a comeback, son.
The king knows about comebacks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Our next topic on the docket is leadership.
If you're able to come through on your word, it allows the guys that you're leading, male or female, to be able to say, okay, we can follow this person because he won't let us down.
And, you know, it's ironic that we have that quote there. So,
from LeBron
for leadership.
James.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For leadership, who did you choose?
I got King James.
Yep.
I got King James. When you think of, I think that's the difference in a Cleveland championship and a Miami championship. Yes, they both won MVPs, but as far as being slash player coach on the floor, having the responsibility of knowing what to do to win, as opposed to being a student of the game and learning to be a champion. You know, no disrespect to Ty Lue, but when you think about Eric Spoelstra, it's Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley as a unit coaching, and you had the reassurance of a champion in Dwayne Wade, who knew what it took to get done and to be a champion. As far as you having to lead Kevin Love, you having to lead Kyrie Irving, or J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, all these other players, to guide them to get to this point of where they are champions. So it's hands down to me. There's no question about it. Leadership is definitely King James.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. I think that one huge difference was he was kind of thrust into a leadership role in Miami. You know, for a long time they weren't sure who the leader was. If it was Wade's team, LeBron's the best player, who's going to be the leader, right? So there was a kind of confusion around that. So as you mentioned, that was his chance to go to college and learn under the great Pat Riley and also Spoelstra as well, to figure out how to win and how to be a champion and in turn be a leader as well throughout that whole process. So I think that, you know, that's where he earned his bones and he was able to get his hands dirty and figure it out. And it just shined as a gem once he polished it off and he was in Cleveland and was able to, you know, really exemplify all of the characteristics that he learned while in Miami.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that. We're giving leadership to King James as well.
Woo. Tied back up. Hit three
straight. So right now, yes. Tied up with two topics or categories to go. All right. Our next category is Clutch Gene. All right.
Who you got?
So Clutch Gene, I have. Oh, man. This one is a doozy. Clutch Gene, I gave it, oh, man. I gave it to King James. But it was difficult. It was definitely difficult. I think what separates it is what he did in the finals and in elimination games. I just remember him having that 44 back-to-back games, him dominating by himself when, you know, Kyrie and these guys were out, and coming up, you know, clutch in the big moments, man. And once again, unfortunately, what's his name? Miami. Miami
chosen.
LeBron. Say it again.
Yeah. The chosen one?
Yeah, yes, the chosen one. The Chosen One was not ready when it was time to get down in the clutch moments, man, especially in the finals, and wasn't able to seal the deal. Yeah. You know, so I'm leaning towards King James on this one.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, are usually topics don't, you know, you usually don't let another topic sway you with another category, I should say, sway you. But when I thought about when you think about hitting the jumper, and then you're thinking about clutch, it's just he's just had so many moments. And to me, at the end of the day, that is what you're gonna remember. Like, you know, you can go through the analytics, and you can go through, you know, the Chosen One could shoot this much better in crunch time than maybe the King. But I do remember the Chosen One hitting a layup against Indiana. I do remember him having a clutch game as far as him playing against the Boston Celtics, or him playing, yeah, you know, or
game
him
six.
Playing hit,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, or him playing hitting some jumpers game seven, you know what I'm saying? But it's just to me the moment at hand. Like, I've watched LeBron last year against a regular season game hit several shots. Like, that's the thing. The thing about it is clutch is just not the shot that, you know what I'm saying, helps tie the game or helps win you
right.
the game. I think
right.
it's like last year he's hit more shots to keep you in the game. And I always felt like that was his Achilles heel in Miami. He never hit the shots to keep you in the game. You know, it was either sink or swim with LeBron. It's either I'm coming all the way back and we win, or I'm blowing you out. But it was never, oh, this game is in doubt, but now it's not in doubt no more, because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to come through and I'm going to do what I have to do. And that's the thing. He just has hit more shots that he needed to hit to keep his team afloat, for to have a moment to have a game winner, or, you know, or whatever. So, no question, LeBron James, King James has definitely won the clutch.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention how many times Kyrie Irving has come up clutch for that squad, right? I'm thinking back at it. He definitely had that release valve or that option to be able to go to Kyrie in those clutch moments, knowing that he's a finisher.
Right.
What do you think about that?
As you were talking,
that just came up.
Kyrie's had some clutch moments, of course, no question. But like I said, I can remember him, the shot against Washington off the glass. I can remember the shot against Chicago, you know what I'm saying, in the playoffs. The shot against Toronto, the shots against Indiana last year, the shots against the Celtics. It's just so many, you know what I'm saying? Even if you want to think about it, even at the point of before the game was lost in game one of the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if Miami LeBron hits those, you know, I don't know if Miami LeBron hits those shots to keep the game within doubt. And that's the thing, is like in Cleveland, he can keep the game within doubt, with like all the great ones did, like a Kobe Bryant, like a Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Can keep the game within doubt. Like, it's not over until 0-0. I never got that feeling from LeBron in Miami. Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty. So, man, King James is kind of storming back. 5-4.
Yes. Yes, yes. And we are now on to our final category of the eye chart. And That is game impact.
I'm standing here with two game changers, two people who have changed
he
the culture.
Changed like me. Oh yeah, he changed game like as a big man. I changed game as a guard.
Yes. Who you got for game impact, man?
I don't know. For real. Because if you think about it, I mean, you know, what he's... I think... If I have to really truly go game impact, and I really think about it, damn, dude, I would think I would have to go. Woo! Oh man, this is hard. This is hard for real. Like, I'm looking at my notes, and honestly, I got a question mark for game impact. I didn't think it would have to come down to this last one right here. But I got a question mark because, all right, let's just discuss it first of all, because I don't have a definitive answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the chosen one, He has transcended the game as far as how you position players, you know what I'm saying? And people can say Golden State initiated small ball, but it's LeBron James that has initiated small ball.
Okay.
Because if you think about what he has done, playing the power forward position, you know what I'm saying? Playing those multiple positions that he could, that enabled the versatility in his game. When you look at what he's done when he went back in Cleveland, it's just like he has, you know, he forced these teams and his style, with his style of play and his versatility, going back to being the point guard, it was just like he's the power guard. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's a new phrase.
Okay.
He's in Cleveland, he became the power guard, and it was like, He reinvented himself back again and forced, you know, what enabled to be the super teams and these 3-point shooting, you know what I'm saying? So, man, this is hard. If I have to choose one, and I have to right now, I have to. I just feel placing him at the power forward spot changed the game. It changed the game. It totally changed the game. Because if you think, the people can say that Steph Curry eliminated the big man, but LeBron James did too. And placing him at that power forward slot, there's no longer clunky. There's no longer the Oakleys. There's no use for those kind of players no more. You basically your power forward has to be a big small forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
You know, that's what he created, because he created such a mismatch at that position that re-alterated what everybody had to do to compete with him. You know what I'm saying? That shifted Carmelo to the power forward slot. That shifted so many other players who was like, well, you know what? You're not a, you know, as long as you're six, before you were 6'8", 6'9", you were a small forward.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's,
you know,
true.
You're 6'10 and above, you were a power forward. Doesn't matter now. You 6'8", 6'9", you could be thrusted into the power forward slot. And playing small ball really had to do with LeBron more than it had to do with Golden State. So if I have to choose one, I got the chosen one. I got the chosen one.
Yeah. For those, I'm with you. You made a very valid argument, man. Concrete argument, man. I actually had, that was the only one that I had blank. I swear to you. It was blank. Everything else I had, stats, I had notes, I had, that one was blank, son. Because, you know, it was difficult. But it was more than difficult. It was more than difficult. I agree, though. The fact that the impact that he laid on the entire game because of what he could do at that point and at that size and speed and strength and all of those things that you named, man, I have to lean towards the chosen one as well. Oh, man. Wow. Wow.
A tie.
Crazy. That's crazy.
If I'm gonna ask you this right now, all right? Because being that you know, we have a tie, and also what we need to start doing also is that tomorrow, like, you know, like you see how we have all these right here. We need to put this back out with the checks on each other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
we
that
can do
we
that.
Can get, yeah, so we can get the opinion of our people online and in social media world to see, you know, if they agree with us or they don't agree.
I put it out on Facebook after the Curry and Nash one, but I like the design factor. We'll chop it up off air about the design factor with the checks and everything. I like that. And make sure that we get it out to the people so we could get some feedback. I definitely agree with that.
But let me ask you something.
So we ended up washing again, man. What the hell?
I mean, it's not our fault. It's not our fault, you know. This is the only kind of wash that we can accept.
That's
because
right.
we didn't wash any of the topics.
Right.
You know, like we didn't wash
no,
any of the topics.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, like it's only fitting that it be a wash because it's himself. You know.
That's right. That's right.
He's battling against himself. So, you know, a wash can be acceptable. But just on a side note, while we have this little time left, who would you take?
Am I taking him for a game that matters my life? Am I taking him to start my NBA franchise? Am I taking him in the last second of the game? What's your question? Be more specific.
Okay. Who you taking to start the season to take me all the way to the finals and win it?
All the way to the finals and win it. I gotta go with King James. He's just more seasoned. He is the polished diamond, as compared to, you know, it wasn't a piece of coal. It was just a smaller diamond in Miami. But King
right.
James is the... You know, is the princess cut, man, the big cut, man. You know, he shines a little bit more brighter than the chosen one. That's all, and that's part of the journey. That's why I really appreciate, you know, excuse me, being able to put this guy on the chart to be able to dissect the trajectory and the growth, right? So we've seen you know, the ups and downs, the bumps and the bruises and the growth and then the maturity to get to this point. Now, no one, including myself, as much as I am a supporter of LeBron, no one expected him to do what he did in 82 games this year. That was remarkable.
Right.
So, you know, seeing that and also just knowing, you know, at what point he is in his career, I would have to lean towards King James to start the season and take me to the finals and win it.
I feel you. I don't know, B. Because it's like it's easy to say because you know his jumper and everything, but when you think about his defense,
yep,
that he played in Miami,
right?
I mean, I think, and I mean, it's not only his defense, but his overall size too, like. I definitely believe that the Golden State Warriors would have a problem with Miami LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because not only would is he have the size and the speed and the strength and the stamina, you know, to shut down Durant, you know. And give him the physicality that he needs. Whereas this one is, I mean, even though he's still a monster, he's still he's human now.
Mm-hmm.
He's human.
That's right.
For real.
That's right. All right, this is a good one, bro. This is a good one.
This one was amazing. Like I said, we wasn't trying to get for no washes, but
right.
That thing was amazing.
But you know, and it balances out. You know, everything kind of weighs out and balances out, as you mentioned the fact that. It's him. It's one person. It's that individual. So, you know, it's in good balancing with the universe, man. And it fell that way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
man. So this is a good one. This is a good one. We're going to chop it up and come up with the next one for next week, man. We got to keep this run going with the eye charts. And be
Definitely.
Able to also put it out with the people so that we could get some feedback. We want to make sure that we, before we wind it down, man, we do it right. Make sure that we get in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. We'll be able to get Nick's therapy going.
Definitely.
His doc and his patient. Yo, I just got some breaking news, patient. Kevin Knox looked like he's going to be with Puma.
Yeah, I saw him this morning, first take, rocking a Puma shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see what's going on, man. I'm not, you know, my thing about it is, as long as he's not in some low cuts, I'm happy.
Word.
You know,
I
like,
agree.
Get out of them. No disrespect to the Mamba. If you're wearing the latest Mamba's joints, I got no really problem with those. Those look like quarters. Those look like kind of some real decent sneakers. But those low cut joints, nah, B.
He did too much damage already, fam. I can't front. I love the Mamba, but he's done too much damage with the influx of these low cut ball kicks. And they're not, you know, lifestyle kicks, but they're actually ball kicks, and that it's messed up the game in terms for me. I'm still a high top dude, but since we're mentioning that, before we get off, man, we right before we got on the air, we finally got the release of the new King James sneakers that he's bringing to LA, And we've seen a lot of prototypes. We've seen some, you know, some possibilities prior to this. But how did you feel seeing this most recent version, the white on whites with the gold bottom and the lion in the back?
Yo, those joints are on, those things are flames. And but I think that's a lifestyle sneaker. You could tell by like the gold leather belt around the top of the sneaker.
On the top.
And he's always, one thing I always give credit to LeBron with that is that he was knowing that it was hard for him to reach Mike status as far as being a lifestyle sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike has achieved that, being an on-the-court and lifestyle sneaker. He has done an exceptional job as far as creating his brand as an on-the-court, off-the-court sneaker. Like, he has done an excellent job. Everybody, even Jordan, has followed his model that started in Miami. Oh, you know what? I have the LeBron on the court sneaker, and I have the LeBron off the court sneaker. And it could even be the same sneaker, but it's a totally luxurious leather. It's totally, you know, and he is the trendsetter on that, and you got to give hats off to that. You know, I told you before when I first saw them, I didn't know how they were going to look on the foot. I didn't particularly like the aesthetics of it, how it was looking. But after seeing on LeBron's foot and the original ones, those were dope. And, you know, he always takes it up a notch when he does his lifestyle sneaker. The back of the artwork, as far as the lion in the back of the sneaker, is off the chain. It's excellent craftsmanship. Like, those things are ridiculous. Like
I don't, and you know, go ahead. I don't know why you thought it was going to be anything different. I got to bring it up. Yeah, I was thinking he was going to come out with some lame kicks. It just had to take some time. So I said it from then. I'm like, yo, he's going to come with some fire. He got to. This is L.A. This is a new chapter, a new beginning. He can't come with no corny kicks, especially coming off of the last kicks he had. The 15s, those were flames.
Exactly.
Those are some of his best sneakers. So he had to, you know, bring it, man. Before we wrap it up, though, I want to definitely acknowledge the Hall of Fame class of 2018. Big up. Give thanks, Big Al out there in cyberspace, man. But there are a lot of familiar names on this list, man. Names that we've seen coming up and playing and from college days, you know.
And now
they're Hall of Famers, right? So we got Ray Allen, Mo Cheeks, Lefty Driesell, Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, who we just did an eye chart on, Dino Raja, Charlie Scott, Katie Smith, Tina Thompson, Rod Thorne, Ora May Washington, Rick Welts, and a few other, that's the list. But you know, there's some very familiar names on that list, man, that we've seen matriculate throughout their years and end up on the highest stage or the biggest stage, which is the NBA. And now they are in or going to be enshrined into the Hall of Fame. Well, any thoughts on some of those names?
What's crazy is a lot of people get into their feelings with the Hall of Fame, as far as who's a Hall of Famer, who's not a Hall of Famer. And the Basketball Hall of Fame is a totality of your career as a basketball player, not just the NBA. With that being said, I think that they must have the Basketball Hall of Fame need to have stricter standards overall to make the Hall of Fame more prestigious. I understand that, I have no qualms with Grant Hill making the Basketball Hall of Fame, because even though he was, two or three-time All-Star and an All-NBA player,
no.
is the fact that he's...
Seven-time All-Star. Seven-time All-Star.
So sorry.
Yeah, don't disrespect the God.
Sorry. The fact, even though the fact that he was a 7-time All-Star, I think the fact of when you take into account what he has done in his college career allows us to, you know what I'm saying, solidifies his space as a Hall of Famer. And that's the thing that we have to differentiate when we're, you know what I'm saying, when we're talking about Hall of Fame. A lot of all those players other than Grant Hill, and Grant Hill itself too, is all worthy, you know what I'm saying? And I'm happy for him. And, you know, that's it. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out, Jason Kidd. He did his thing. He's a champion, Hall of Famer. It's a great, wonderful feeling, man. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a great ending to your basketball career.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to work out. I kind of agree with you in terms of the prestige, because a lot of people get in for different merits, right? You can have a great international career. You could have a great college career, great NBA career. Could be a great executive. You know, there are so many different, you know, kind of criterias that are open and out there. And in order to put a little bit more class on the Hall of Fame, a little bit more shine, making it a little bit more exclusive, I think would be cool. Maybe possibly a wing, possibly like a wing for the distinguished. You know, 50 graders shouldn't necessarily be lumped up with Yao Ming, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, and no disrespect to Yao Ming, because he opened up the game. I wish he was able to play much longer. I was a big fan of this dude. But the foot injuries, you know, killed it. But, comparing him up against the captain, it's like, it's two totally different spectrums of the hall.
Definitely. And I think what has to be started to be acknowledged is I think you have to break it down with impact in the overall game and Hall of Fame contributions, you know, because
yeah.
I think a lot of players have gotten on because of their contribution to the game.
I mean, perfect example, Dino Raja. Like, I would have never expected him to be in the hall, but he was elected by the International Committee, 2-time EuroLeague champion, selected as one of the 50 greatest players coming out of FIBA. But, you know, he averaged 16 points, 8 rebounds, you know, like one block in 224 games. Like, what is that? So,
exactly my point.
Right.
That's why I said, you know, it has to be broken down into our contributions. You know, impact of the game and contributions to the game.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to truly get it separated. Because because you know, these dudes, everybody's coming in and just like, okay, you know what? My impact isn't high, but my contributions to the game is high. Okay, well, let's separate it. Let's separate it so that we can make sure that these players are heralded for the right reason. Not everybody's in the same boat. Because I don't believe, you know.
Totally agree. Totally agree with you on that, man. Word, this is a good one, man. I think we have a caller on the line. We're going to try to bring this guy in, man, see if he can weigh in on, I guess, just this last topic here that we dealt with in the eye chart.
Right.
Long-time supporter, but haven't heard from him in a long time. Let's see, who is this? Yo,
good
yo,
evening.
You're on
good
the line.
Evening. Yes. Big up.
Yes.
What up?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Better late than never.
Better late than never, true. Better late than never.
No. no doubt. I just think that, you know, you have to, they have to start, they have to do something different with the Hall, man. It's just, you know, you make five all-star teams and, you know, you're going to be a Hall of Famer, man. It just takes away from, when you compare it to the other sports.
Right.
And, you know, Grand Hill, you know, have a college, have an NCAA wing, you know, college, because Grant definitely with his four finals, four appearances, he gets in, you know, and then we know he got derailed because of injury. But, you know, still in all, like Bill Walton, you know, 6,000 points, something like that. He's a Hall of Famer.
Right. Come on.
It's tainted. It really, you should have different wings. You know, it's different levels
right.
to that thing.
Right.
Like, you know, looking at this list, man, I got like Tina Thompson. She's like number four for worthy to me. Or she passed a lot of cats on this Hall of Fame class.
I feel you. That's my girl on the low. On the low,
for
I
real.
Love Tina Thompson,
oh,
son.
With the red lipstick.
Word.
With the red lipstick.
Right, yes, my dude.
Let's keep it professional, brothers. Let's keep it professional.
Yeah, I know. My fault. Dan, that just took me back, son. That was one of my crushes. I can't front.
Oh, I ain't gonna lie, but you know, I don't want her to look at her, anything else as, you know, a ball player right now, especially with all these wages going on.
Don't get it twisted, Tina Thompson. She had game with her now.
Yes,
you know, and she was
champion.
Winning them chips.
Mm-hmm. Right, a champion. That word.
No
Thank
doubt.
You for keeping us on point, ISO. But continue, true. Thank you.
Yeah, but yeah, I just want to, you know, I mean, yeah, for this class, you know, Ray Allen, again, here you see, you know, when you play for four teams, man, it's hard for me, man. He is definitely worthy because of his three-point prowess and the fact that he got the championships, but, yeah, the multiple teams, you know, kind of sows it for me. And then Nash, you got Nash with the two back-to-back MVPs that now everybody looks back and really want to revoke them. If we could, we'd revoke them two MVPs. But he gets into, you know, I guess Jay Kidd is the headliner? Is Jason Kidd the headliner?
Yeah, I guess, man. They have the list I have is alphabetical. You know, so, yeah, the list I have is alphabetical. Lefty Driesdell is a, you know, coach. He's been around, been doing it for a minute. Charlie Scott, man, got to big him up. He's the first African-American scholar athlete out of UNC, University of North Carolina, which started. Yes, he was nasty with it, too. Yes. But that also started a large history and tradition of African-American players at University of North Carolina. And him being the trailblazer and the pioneer, got to definitely salute him on that, man.
Right. Big up.
Word.
No
big
question.
Up. Yeah. He's a champion. But, yeah, I think, like you said, Truth, he might be the headliner, either J. Kidd or Ray Allen. I mean... You know, out of those two, you know, Rod Thorne is a big name because he's been around forever and, you know, has been involved in the league for so long in so many different ways. But in terms of players, I feel you. Tina Thompson, man, she's in the top three on that list, fam.
Oh, hell
top
man.
Two.
Word, how you slice it. I feel you on
she's
that.
She's top two, B. She's top two.
Before Dino, Raja, and
right.
even Grand Hill, man.
No,
come on,
I mean,
man.
Yo, one can make an argument that she is the headliner because she's nah. Because you think about it, she won in college, won in college, and then she three-peated with the Houston Comets in the WNBA.
Yeah. She actually won, but she's a four-time champion and WNBA champion, first draft pick in WNBA history. and 9-time WNBA All-Star. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And was the all-time leading scorer for the longest, man. She, you know, she just, I think Taurasi just passed her, but, yeah, man. She the real deal, you know. I remember when Cynthia Cooper went in. You know, Cynthia Cooper was like the Jordan of the WNBA, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Cynthia Cooper, boy, clutch buckets. When they three-peated, she was knocking them down. So,
yeah
it's sad when you got to say there's a couple, and you know, WNBA is actually more worthy than some of these NBA Hall of Famers, but that's just keeping it 100. And they need different wings. You know, you need a FIFA. I think the international should be its own MVP. It should be its own Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then the NBA standards has to, you know, you see player like T.O., right, have to wait. Or even forget,
right,
you know, beyond T.O., because I think Chris Carter waited like 5-6 times to get in.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm.
You feel me? I mean, you get in the Hall of Fame in the NFL, dude. You are the real deal. You hear me?
Right.
You made it through. Yeah. And same with baseball, man. It's just a higher standard. And I just, you know we love ball. We understand the game. We understand the history of the game. And it's just like, you know, Bosh is a Hall of Famer. Chris Bosh gonna be a Hall of Famer because he's like a 9-time All Star. Two-time champ, right? He's a Hall of Famer, I guarantee you. First ballot.
Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony.
All of these guys. All Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
All Hall of Famers.
Right. Right. And, and that's a problem.
Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Word. Yeah. Yo, so we only have a few more minutes, Truth. Glad to have you on the line, man. But since you're on the line, we'd love to have you weigh in on our topic of the evening. We pulled up the chart once again. This is our second week in a row. Last week we had Nash and Curry on the chart, which was a heated debate. Very close, closer than we anticipated, and possibly a really unexpected outcome. But this week we had the Chosen One versus King James. The Chosen One representing LeBron James's 4 years in Miami versus King James's 4 years in Cleveland. This was an excellent debate, man. I wish you were around to be a part of it, but just want to get your idea on, I guess, overall, you know, the topics or the categories on the eye chart. We got analytics, competition, create your own shot, lockdown defense, versatility, hits the jumper, mental toughness, leadership, clutch gene, and lastly, game impact. Who do you think weighed out or was able to survive us pulling up the chart?
So that, I mean, that's just running through the chart in my head as you called it out. I got the, when you say Cleveland, King James, you mean when he returned, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The second stint.
Yeah.
The second stint, yes, sir.
I got him. On defense is the only one I would see where I would pick the Heat. I will pick the Heat. Brett James over the prodigal son return to Cleveland. I know it's one ring versus two, but clutch, hits the jumper. I like everything else you call the leadership. I'm going with the prodigal son, the return, the chosen one.
All right, real quick, Iso, I'm going to run down for him because it was tighter than it ended up being tied, man. We had King James for analytics.
What?
We had King James for analytics. For competition, we had the chosen one. Create your own shot, we had the chosen one. Lockdown D, the chosen one. Versatility, the chosen one. And hits the jumper, the chosen one. Then when you get to mental toughness, we got King James, leadership, King James. Clutch and game clutch was King James and game impact was the chosen one.
So wait, you gave hit the jumper, the Heat, LeBron James, you gave him jumper over the chosen one?
Nah.
We gave the king
hits the jumper.
That was my list. That was my little part of me.
Oh,
part of
okay.
Me.
Yeah, we gave create your own shot because LeBron played better off the ball in Miami than he did in
yeah,
Cleveland.
Yeah, but that ain't create your own shot, though, brother. I beg to differ. Create your own shot is just that. Get your own shot. And the second and the King James, he finally went in the post and dominated from the post. We seen him do that in these last 4 years. In the
his
final,
post game,
come on, that's
he was bullying to the basket in King James, right? No, I'm talking about post game footwork, back to the basket moves, turnaround jumper. He was doing that as the chosen one. And the reason why, let me hold up, the reason why I chose create your own shot and the fact that he created his own shot without having the ball. You don't necessarily have to have the ball in to create your own shot. The cutting, the back alley-oops he was getting, the easy baskets he was getting because he was moving without the ball and playing without the ball is part of what tipped the scale.
He ain't had no damn jumper, though. I don't understand. How you could give him that when he actually, the analytics will tell you he was a better jump shooter these last 4 years than those 4 years.
I have the analytics right in front of me. I'm going to send a screenshot to you right now so you can eat your words.
I said the same thing, Steph. I said the same thing. It's the fact
but
that
the
numbers favor Miami, but the fact is that he took more in Cleveland. So that's why I gave him his the jumper. Like, I totally agree with you. His jump shot was way better in Cleveland than it was in Miami. It's just that he took less, so his percentages were better. But I think about it, though, is Steph is the versatility, too, though. Miami LeBron was more versatile when you think of both sides of the ball, being able to play five positions as well as get everybody involved, you know, play the post. You know what I'm saying? He just played more versatile as opposed to LeBron, you know, running the show and, you know, playing more help defense in King James.
Well, I think you're tainted by this last year where he had to do everything himself. But he let Kyrie get his man. He was off the ball. Kyrie will get a quarter. Kyrie will always get his little six-minute spurt where LeBron will just, a matter of fact, stand up and let Kyrie watch Kyrie, right? So I don't know about that, man. I think and since you got the stats pulled up, I bet he got more triple doubles in these last 4 years than them 4 years. And since we talk about versatility,
stop bringing that Russell Westbrook argument into this conversation.
Thank you.
You're about to be fined, homie. We got 2 minutes left on the conversation, and you bringing up all these good points. You bringing up all these good points.
I gotta go to. I know you love the triple double stat. Now you call it the Westbrook stat. I love it, but hey, that's the versatility stat, though. I'm just saying. Bad for not calling in earlier.
Is what we needed. We needed that third wheel.
I told my brothers earlier, man. Iron don't get sharpened without any friction. You know what I'm saying? So it's always good to have a friction in the mix, man. That's what get the sparks going, son. Word. I love it. This guy coming in, disrupting the whole chart. Right, so that's
what
we needed, baby. That's what we needed.
My bad. I called in too late, man.
Yeah. We're going to definitely get you in on this next chart, man. We're crafting it, putting it together, man. We want to make sure that we appreciate all of the people that tuned in tonight. Check us out on 7scythemedia.com. Listen out for all of our archived episodes. Look forward to this Thursday, 9 p.m., Doc and ISO with Nick's Therapy.
Word.
Yo, ISO. Plug your IG right quick, man. Plug your IG with all them kicks, my dude, and your design.
Yes, man. Check out ISO_the_eye_test for the latest designs on these footwears right now. You know, got it kind of popping right now. I'm pumping them out like 4 or 5 a day or even more. Check it out. Hit me up. Any ideas, you know, soon. Right now I'm in the Nike field. I'm about to hit into Adidas probably about the end of next week. I don't know. Kyrie just got some new low IDs, so now I got like a whole new stash that I got to get into. So it's crazy.
Yes, sir.
It's crazy. Check them out. Check them out for real.
Yes. Yes, yes. And we'll be back next week on Monday, regular time, 9 p.m. Monday with a new iChart up for the people. Once again, man, appreciate all of the listeners. We salute you. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.